Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let's go ahead and get up here to the podium, if you would. I want to get both groups up to the podium. Oh, no. Well, I'm going to wear that. Is it all right if I wear a hat inside, Commissioner Eddington? I know Commissioner Eddington's like, yeah, I'll wear this.
Yes, sir. I'll let you have that today, man. Only.
Oh. I love it.
This was at the very beginning of the county commission meeting yesterday, and Kerry Smith, who is the chairman of the committee, they were about to do a proclamation to honor and celebrate and thank the people who cleaned up all of the dead mullet in the snowpocalypse, because that killed like 13 tons of fish, and people cleaned it up. But he was laughing because they had either, I don't know if they were all wearing them or if they just brought one, but somehow or other, the chairman had on his head a winter warm hat with a mullet half coming out one side, half coming out the other, like a Viking helmet style, but with mullet instead of horns. It was pretty entertaining.
Whereas the record-breaking 10-inch snowfall in Santa Rosa County starting on January 21st, 2025 brought prolonged cold temperatures to shallow waters of the Wright Basin and Blackwater River, resulting in a massive mullet kill-off. And whereas mullet, a cold-blooded fish unable to regulate their body temperature, cannot withstand prolonged exposure to freezing temperatures, led to their demise in this frigid storm.
Yeah, massive problem.
Led to their demise in this frigid storm. And whereas for 3 weeks following the snow event, volunteers from Save Blackwater River and Blackwater Pirates and neighbors of the Wright Basin helped one another clean up more than 13 tons or 25,000 dead mullet washing up on the shoreline. I know that could have really smelled really good for a while.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine how bad that could have become.
And whereas proper means of disposal were expedited by the volunteers and county landfill personnel, the rapid response helped prevent potential adverse health effects, which we all know happen in these red tide areas when you have this kind of massive fish kill.
Yeah, it's not just that it would have smelled bad. I mean, it would have been, you know, and Kerry was kind of joking around that he had kept a bunch of it to freeze, and it's all full of all of his freezers because he can use it for fish bait. You couldn't eat it. I mean, it's all, you know, like the what he said the other day, that they had cloudy eyes instead of clear eyes, and that's I'm not a particularly great fisherman, but, you know, that's my understanding is that's always kind of the distinction between good and bad fish, right? But in any case, you know, some of it you keep for making into bait, and a lot of it you just got to get rid of it, right?
Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that it is a distinct pleasure and honor to recognize mullet cleanup volunteers, Save Blackwater River, Blackwater Pirates, and neighbors on their tremendous effort to clean the waters in Santa Rosa County. Passed and adopted by the Board of County Commissioners on this 27th day of February, 2025, signed by me, the chairman of this board, and we all applaud you guys. Thank you very much.
And part of the reason I wanted to share some of this with you is because, you know, Save Our Blackwater is an organization that I have often disagreed vehemently with. They are the ones who were the primary ones to get the city council in Milton flipped and also to stop the creation of the new wastewater treatment plant. But what am I always telling you? People or entities that you disagree with a lot, you've got to also celebrate them when they do something good. just like if you are going to, you know, celebrate somebody an awful lot, you got to criticize them when they do something bad. And absolutely, this is a good thing. They did good. You know, they did very good. Dave Samples is one of the representatives of Save Our Blackwater who was at the meeting.
This happened before in 2008, and this one was probably more extensive than the one we had before. It was just like carpets of mullet out there. So the hat is very appropriate because next time the temperature gets prolonged drops, you got something to keep your ears warm. And after about 3 weeks of picking up dead mullet, you're going to want to put that hat over your nose because the smell gets to be really bad.
Yeah, no kidding. And if you haven't seen the picture, I mean, the pictures are that they showed at the meeting were like, I mean, 13 tons, a lot of dead fish.
It was really great to see neighbors out helping neighbors, you know, friends of the river, and that's what we're all about. So we have a beautiful environment on the river, and it needs to be cherished and protected and once in a while cleaned up from, you know, stuff that you have no control over. But we're just grateful for the opportunity to serve one another. Thank you.
Thank you.
No,
does
good
anybody
stuff.
Else want to speak?
And then Larry McKee, I believe, who is the you know, the city councilman in Milton, one of the new city councilmen in Milton, was there representing Blackwater Pirates. He spoke also because they were the other entity that was thanked. So that's just, I just love that story because it's community. It's people working to do the good thing, that they're not waiting around for government to fix it. And then, of course, government is helping, you know, in terms of making access available to the landfill. And I think waiving tipping fees and things like that for the people who are bringing in, you know, these massive amounts of fish, because what do you do with them? I mean, they have to go somewhere. 516 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the big story yesterday, at least from my perspective, is I went down to Graffiti Bridge yesterday, and somebody had said, Andrew, you need to go look at the bridge. It's broken. I said, the what now? You know how we always say that Graffiti Bridge is undefeated? You know, Graffiti Bridge Infinity, RVs, campers, box trucks, trailers, zero. So here's what you see if you go down there. We've got a video of this up on our Facebook page. On the north side, as in coming south on 17, you see a bunch of just missing, you know, like it's been hit so much over the years that the edge is all kind of broken off and rough. That's not the issue. But I mean, it's kind of interesting to see. I'd never really paid attention to it, but some of the I-beams underneath are kind of like pushed and dented, but not in any serious way. But if you go and look on the south side, as in the coming from Gulf Breeze side, going north on 17th Avenue, there's at least one, and I couldn't quite be sure, but there is at least one of the big I-beams, and that's, you know, there's like six of them, I think, that run underneath Graffiti Bridge and hold up the trestle for the trains. At least one of those I-beams has been pushed north by, on one side about a foot and on the other side about 2 feet. And the only plausible explanation is from a truck hitting it. In fact, it's kind of interesting. You can see roof sections from prior strikes, right, underneath in different places. You can tell very obviously that that's what's happened here because the paint goes up. You know how when you, if you paint, like, you have a border on your, like, your wall and you paint and then you remove the border, there's the blank spot underneath the paint. There's a blank spot where the I-beam used to be. It's just like the steel or whatever, or the concrete, I think, of the roadbed that was above that. And then there's blank space, and then there's all the paint from all the years up against the I-beam. I mean, it's as clear as a bell. You can see what happened, that it got pushed. Now, is it structurally intact? I would assume so. It doesn't look like it's in any trouble to me, but I am not the engineer of record. The city has said that they have got, you know, the railroad is aware. Somebody from the railroad was actually out looking at it yesterday. They're planning to do repair work over the next couple of weeks. That's how long they think it'll take. I contacted FDOT, and it's not their bridge. It's really, it's over a city road, and the bridge itself is owned by the railroad, so it doesn't have anything to do with FDOT. So we'll see. But, I, you know, like I said, the video's up on our Facebook page. You can see it for yourself that this was definitely it was impacted, I mean, in all the sense of the word. And so I think we have to put an asterisk on the undefeated. I wouldn't say it was taken out of commission. Maybe put on the injured reserve list. I don't know, but it's definitely been impacted and adjusted. And that I-beam, it's kind of a thing when you're like, oh, sure, sir. And you look at it, oh, wow, that's a lot. So 519 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
One of life's greatest mysteries has finally been solved.
Who let the dogs out?
Spruce, spruce, spruce.
It's Spruce, the new hardworking, worry-free weed and grass killer that's safe for use around people and pets. When used as directed, spray the leaves for visible results in just 1 hour and dead weeds in just 1 day. You spray, they play. Weeds die by the next day.
Who let the dogs out?
Find Spruce wherever weed killers are sold.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't want no teenage queen.
I don't want no teenage queen.
I just want my M14.
I just want my M14.
Good morning, 522 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will be meeting with President Trump in Washington today to sign a deal on sharing Ukrainian mineral resources. Zelensky says that deal is preliminary. He wants security guarantees against more Russian aggression before any official agreement is signed off on.
Is it? Am I the only one? I'm sure I am. But am I the only one who, in the back of my head, I keep hearing the theme song from Borat, world's greatest exporter of potassium? Like, there's something about the former Soviet satellite states that, yeah, I mean, and Ukraine is very mineral rich. Have you looked at, like,
oh,
some
yeah,
of the
they
stuff?
Have a lot.
And it's some of it is under Russian controlled territory in the southeast, but a lot of it is, like, right down the middle and by the river. And, you know, like, there's a lot of, you know, high valuable for the current market and technology commodities in Ukraine. It's, I mean, really, a lot of untapped stuff.
Absolutely. Well, if I didn't have that one in my head before, I do now. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is beginning the process of laying off hundreds of employees. The mass job cuts of their probationary workers began yesterday. That could affect from 600 to 1,800 people. And the long-awaited Epstein documents were released by the DOJ yesterday, but not a whole lot of new information in the 200 pages that were released.
Well, that's not the all of it.
That's the start of it. Absolutely. There was a lot of drama revolving around this yesterday for folks that were on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days. Pam Bondi saying that the FBI in New York is withholding documents.
Mm-hmm. And that Kash Patel and that the prior FBI has withheld lots of documents,
right.
And she basically gave them until this morning. You better produce it all by this morning, period, or else there's going to be trouble right here in River City.
So we'll see what happens with all of this today, but it's definitely a very interesting and evolving story.
I could not fast enough find the theme song for Borat, but...
In Kazakhstan, it is illegal for more than 5 women to be in the same place, except for in brothel or in grave. In USA, many women meet in a groups called the feminists. I find them all. Chenkuyi.
It's been way too long since I've seen Borat.
It is such a great and terrible movie. It really is.
It's so bad, it's good.
And the only thing I can say that's worse was the sequel, which was not as funny, still somewhat funny, but way worse.
Right.
All I can say is the banana unitard, and if you've seen it, you know what I mean. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Just gives me the shudders even to think about it. What else do we have going on? So there's kind of, you know, been a lot of drama around the makeup of the Land Development Code Task Force in Santa Rosa County. I got to tell you, one of the weirdest things I have ever seen happened yesterday at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. They came together, and some of the citizens were, you know, expressing their frustrations. They even name-checked me. It's kind of cute. I'll talk about that later in the show. Somebody wasn't happy with me because of my interview with the with Kelvin Enfinger yesterday and the phrase pitchfork posse. But like I said, I'll get to that later. It's a little bit entertaining. But then they went through the process of naming their people, and they just named their people, and then, you know, they... Kerry Smith, who's the chairman of the commission, he said, you know, I agree that, you know, we ought to have Chris Kerb, the flood defenders person, on there, and we ought to have a, you know, a tiebreaker vote. And so let's go ahead and do that. And he proposed what, you know, kind of I had thought the same thing and said the same thing. I was glad when Colton Wright proposed to have Chris Kerb on there. And then when they cut back from 12 to 10, he seemed to, you know, that kind of changed. Especially because each individual commissioner, nobody individually nominated him to be on there, but he is the most high profile, you know, citizen activist, slash, you know, subject matter expert that should be on the task force. And, so Kerry Smith said, yeah, let's have him.
We had Sherry Chapman. She came up here, addressed it. She said, we probably need 11. I've heard it from multiple people. We probably need a tiebreaker. So I'll throw this out there. And it's up to this board. This is something that we'll have to vote on to if we would want to consider making an 11th. And we all know that Chris Kerb is very talented at what he does. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's an important voice to be. I mean, if you're going to have a task force that's going to look at the Land Development Code and look at, you know, stormwater and runoff and clear cutting, I mean, duh, of course you got to have Chris on it. So he says, add Chris, make it 11, give him a tiebreaker so he can have uneven votes. Bobby Burkett.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I too have had numerous people tell me we need a tiebreaker. We need a tiebreaker. And I kind of agree we do need a tiebreaker.
Yeah, Colton Wright, who had proposed him originally.
I think Chris Kerb has a place on this board. This is why that's one of the reasons I mentioned his name from day one. I did feel like 12 originally was the right number because I did feel like it made sure that we had an engineer on there. So that's why I was a little put off by going back down to 10 and now coming back to up to 11. I still would like to see an engineer of record that's in that business on this task force. I think it would be helpful, but I'll support the 11th member. I do think having an odd number probably is a better way to go.
Yeah, that's 3. Ray Eddington.
I'm on board with 11. I think I'll mention that Monday in the meeting. We need to have a tiebreaker, and I'm okay with Chris. I'd nominate him right now, too.
So, easy. So, what was all this drama all about? Well, you know, some people like to be upset, and they get scared and concerned or whatever, or they like to cause trouble, or they just, you know, all kinds of reasons. But essentially, in the end, they made the 11-person commission. They added Chris to it. They kept the, you know, Kelvin Enfinger, who we had on the show yesterday, winds up on it for the Associated Builders and Contractors. You had the head of the Home Builders Association is on it. So, you know, you've got good representation from the construction industry and developer industry. You've got citizen activists on there. The board is great. I mean, the board is everything that it should have been. And it's basically the board they would have had anyway. So all of this drama for nothing. Even Sherry Chapman, who is a founding member of the Pitchfork Posse, that actually came up a lot too yesterday, the phrase Pitchfork Posse. Like I said, I'll play that for you later. You'll find it entertaining. Anyway, she says, and I had to play Sherry because she's the one who kind of in the meeting said, let's have 11. Let's make sure that Chris Kerb is on there. And I totally agree with that and, you know, had said so for days. Thought that was at least having a tiebreaker is good. Having Chris Kerb was an essential.
I want to commend each and every one of you for who you have put on this board. I feel that it reflects responsible growth preserving the building industry, preserving our environment, preserving the way that we want to live in this community. And to sum it all up, I'm basically speechless at the exceptional job that y'all have done. And I certainly appreciate Chris Kerr being put on there, because I think that he has invested a lot of time in trying to help us. So kudos to you, and this is why you guys were elected.
Yeah. And I will say, for the record, Sherry Chapman is never speechless. So that's actually impressive. Even Jerry Cooey, another, you know, founding member of the Pitchfork Posse, was all excited and praising them and saying this was fantastic, and it is. So I'm actually looking for really good things to come out of this land development commission, land development code review. You know, they're going to look at sedimentation, erosion, alternate subdivisions, clear cutting, minor subdivisions. So should be very good.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The minerals deal between the U.S. and Ukraine becomes official today. President Trump praising the deal.
I think it's going to be great for Ukraine.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky arrives here this morning to sign off on a historic economic framework tying the U.S. to Ukraine's rare earth mineral development.
Federal judge in San Francisco rules the Office of Personnel Management did not have the power to fire probationary employees. Lawyers for the personnel office said individual agencies made the decision to fire the employees and that it had no ordering and no role in ordering the firings. 10 states reporting measles cases, a highly contagious, serious airborne disease. And Mexico sends a drug lord who was allegedly behind the killing of a USDA agent in 1985 to the U.S. along with 28 other prisoners. New York City. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 50 degrees, clear skies this morning. Well, Pensacola's infamous graffiti bridge may not be undefeated any longer. Yesterday, damage was visible on that bridge, which may have been caused by a recent truck strike. One of the bridge's I-beams has been pushed to the north by at least 1 or 2 feet. The bridge is likely still safe and within tolerances, but it does need repairs. City Administrator Tim Kinsella tells News Radio they're working with the railroad on repairs. It'll probably take a few weeks. One of downtown Pensacola's busiest events happens tomorrow, the Mardi Gras Parade. That'll roll through downtown Pensacola starting at 2 p.m. This year's parade has some security changes, such as Bayfront and Main Street being closed off between Wahoo Stadium and Veterans Memorial Park. Officers will be set up blocking through traffic, but will work with drivers that are headed to businesses or residences.
It may not be the fastest route that you're used to taking, because if you're coming in from the west, we will send you down Cedar Street to Palafox Place. If you're coming in from the east, we will send you down Commandencia to get to your destination, but we're going to get you there. The key is to get there as early as possible, so people who work there and who live there, we're going to get that taken care of for you.
PPD's Mike Wood, he tells News Radio they'll work with residents and employees of businesses through that area. Bayfront and Main will be closed starting an hour before the parade until shortly after it ends. Well, it's been 3 years now since Governor Ron DeSantis announced the return of Florida's State Guard. After their next class graduates, they'll be up to 800 members.
This is something that has been a great asset for the state. We have a lot of demand for really good people who want to join and be a part of it. We need to continue to meet that demand and welcome people who want to come for service to the state.
And Governor DeSantis spoke yesterday at Camp Blanding Joint Operations Training Center in Clay County. He said the State Guard has surpassed all expectations, and they also had boots on the ground in 43 different counties performing hurricane response missions last year. Well, after teasing a run for governor, Florida Attorney John Morgan has decided to launch his own political party for people that are stuck in the middle. Political scientist Dr. Susan McManus says he has the name recognition and he has the money to do it, but she says it still won't be easy in a traditional two-party system.
This is a trial balloon for sure, but obviously if it comes from John Morgan, it's a trial balloon that's huge and gonna go high, and a lot of people will see it.
Morgan's been a big Democrat donor in the past. He bankrolled campaigns to legalize medical marijuana and to raise the state minimum wage. This news comes, of course, just one day after Republican Congressman Byron Donalds announced that he would be running for governor. Well, a Pensacola man that went viral thanks to his mugshot a few years ago is now accused of sending obscene material to a minor in Georgia. 37-year-old Charles McDowell, who gained internet fame as Wideneck in 2018, was arrested on some new charges last month. TMZ reports McDowell allegedly sent sexually explicit videos of a woman to her teen children and other family members. He was arrested in Pensacola. He's now been extradited to Cherokee County, Georgia. 5:35 at News Radio, and right now we've got 50 degrees, clear skies across the area. Your next news at 6 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors awaited the release of key inflation data, the most anticipated of the week. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield fell by over 4 basis points to 4.2444%. Investors today will closely monitor January data for the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect the measure of price changes for consumers to rise 0.3% from December for an annualized gain of 2.5%. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. President Trump said that his 25% proposed tariffs on Mexico and Canada will go into effect on March 4th. China will also be charged an additional 10% tariff starting on the same date. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 193, the NASDAQ down 530, the S&P 500 down 94. Once again, futures are slightly higher ahead of key inflation data later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
The Key invites you to the 24th Annual Gulf Coast Renaissance Fair Wild West Roundup Pirate Fest this weekend at Five Flags Speedway. Come out, enjoy some historic fun. Eat, drink, and be merry while you're entertained by jousting knights, wizards, fire breathers, sword fights, pirates, gypsy dancers, cowboy shootouts, falconry, and much more. Step back in time at the Gulf Coast Renaissance Fair this weekend at Five Flags Speedway, Pine Forest Road, Pensacola. Visit gcrf.us.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
To Chief Randall and his team on reaccreditation at PPD. They've earned reaccreditation for the 911 communications and the law enforcement operations. And accreditation standards provide norms against which agency performance can be measured and monitored over time. So it's good for 3 years, so congratulations. Of course, to Chief Randall and his entire team to continue to have those exemplary achievements out there.
Absolutely. That was Mayor D.C. Reeves talking about PPD reacquiring its accreditation certification on that was Wednesday. Yesterday, we talked about that a little bit, among other things, with the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You don't want to say it's a big deal because it's kind of a formality, but, you know, there was a time when it didn't happen, mostly through kind of paperwork, you know, kind of stuff, not anything substantial. But it's always good to get reaccredited, right?
Yeah, it kind of is a big deal to us. I mean, there's a lot of departments that are not accredited. Being accredited has many benefits. But basically, to break those down, there's lots of benefits. You know, an department can say that they train, that they have policies and procedures, they do this, they do that. But accreditors come in and make sure that is the case and make sure that we're up to par and our so is our training, our equipment, our personnel is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we've been accredited solidly since 2018. And like you said, we got it again now, so which will be good for 3 years. And it wasn't just the police department itself. It was also our dispatchers. So you've got a lot of professionals up there that are answering the phone calls that our citizens are calling in every day.
And by the way, when I say not a big deal, what I mean is, and I certainly see why we, all I mean is, like, I expect you to. You know what I mean? Like, I just expect that it's going to be the case. It would be a big deal if it didn't happen. So it's not surprising. But, yes, it is absolutely a good achievement, and I'm proud of you guys for being able to get that again, as you have done so many times in the past. Let's talk about traffic, because I know that is on everybody's mind. Coming up with the parade this Saturday and Friday night, the biggest change, the one that has got me the most worried about what's going to happen traffic-wise is, of course, as we said many times, if Main and Bayfront are closed from Wahoo Stadium all the way to Veterans Memorial Park, all the east-west traffic is going to have to find another way, Cervantes. All the people like me, the mayor correctly called me out on this, I had admitted it anyway, that I like to come in about 40 minutes before the parade. I like to park down somewhere near the port or the, you know, backside of the Plaza Luna, that kind of vicinity, and then, you know, New World Landing area or old New World Landing area. And then when the parade is done, you know, my part of it, I like to get in my car and go. Can't do that this year. But my understanding is that there's some flexibility here that we might not have known about, particularly on Cedar Street. Because that had my thought is, why not just use Cedar Street as a workaround? You could protect the intersection of Palafox and Main without actually closing it off. But you tell me there's some more to this story, right?
Yeah, so if you're going to park where you mentioned, you can still do that. Just get there an hour ahead. Mm-hmm. You'll still be permitted to do that. But there's been a lot of anxiety about this change, especially Main Street. So I'm here to answer those questions, so let not your heart be troubled. If you are coming in from the west, we will get you to your destination. We know we have residents like at Port Royal. We have business owners. We have customers that want to go to these businesses south of Palafox. And when you come to an officer that has a closure on Main Street, if you let that officer know exactly where you're going, then we will get you to your destination. It may not be the fastest route there you're used to taking, because if you're coming in from the west, we will send you down Cedar Street to Palafox Place. If you're coming in from the east, we will send you down Commandencia to get to your destination, but we're going to get you there. The key is to get there as early as possible, so people who work there and who live there, we're going to get that taken care of for you.
Okay, so there is going to be what I would call local access for residents, business owners, shoppers, the whole south of Maine, that whole kind of peninsula area is not going to be 100% closed off. It's going to be at the discretion of the officers on either side of those barricades. Is that kind of the right way to think of it?
Yes, just let the officer know where you're going. Now, what's not going to work is if you come in from the west, like from Barrancas or Pace, and you're trying to get on the bridge, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to be much faster if you just take Pace to Cervantes or go up A Street to Cervantes and then come back down 9th Avenue or go to 17th Avenue to cross the bridge. Through traffic will not be permitted, but local traffic, when you tell the officer where you're going, it will be permitted. Now, if you decide to tell the officer that you're going to South Palafox, but you change your mind and you want to go across the bridge, you're going to get turned around on the other side.
Which
so,
is, I assume that's why you have,
I
assume that's why you have the one street one way and the other street the other way, is to control that. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So the kind of on the map that we've got up on our Facebook page that you guys have also put out, the sort of south of Main green zone is some access to that based on individual judgment. And then once you're down in that area, of course, you can drive. What about leaving that area? I had somebody ask me, if I live down there, will I be able to leave even after Main and Bayfront are closed? Or somebody had asked me about, I work at the fish house and I get off at 4:00. The parade may not be over by then. What about me? What's your answer for those folks?
Yeah, we're going to get them out. We're going to get them to where they need to go. The people that are watching the parade, Main Street will be the first one open. Main Street is not supposed to have throws or the moon pies and the beads and the debris on the roadway that we have to keep it closed down so the street sweepers can do their job. Main should not have any of that on there, so it should be opened up, the first street opened up after the parade, which should be within 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
So maybe faster than that. It all depends on the debris or lack thereof.
What time is that? What time does the parade usually get done at, like, last float through getting to Palafox and Main? Is that, like, 5, 4? I don't really know.
I'm not going to touch that, and the reason for that is because this year's parade is going to be bigger. There are more floats. A lot of times there are gaps in the parade that we try to prevent. There's lots of reasons why this parade could end at one time one year and an hour later the next.
Okay.
So, you know, I like to say three and a half hours, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay, so you'll know when it's done. You'll know it when you see it. No, and I appreciate that. That's an honest and accurate answer. So I wouldn't want you to make a promise that you can't justify. Anything else? You know, you've heard my conversations, of course, with DC about this. You've heard me talking about it, and you and I have talked about this now twice. Anything else about the parade Saturday that you want to make sure people know in advance to kind of mitigate against some of the problems that will come from people not knowing what's going on?
Yes, the perimeter is being pushed back, as it's been shown on the map. So you have people that live down there that normally let people come to their home to park and to go to the parade route that may be closed off this year. The same thing applies to them. Just let the officer know that has that intersection blocked that you live there or that you're going to visit someone that lives there, and they're going to get you to where you need to go. We're just having to, once the parade starts, before actually to install the perimeter, the barricades, we just have to close those streets down. But if you live there, again, we're not going to keep you from going to your homes.
Gotcha. And I thought the mayor's note yesterday that the angled parking that people often park their trucks on west of Plaza Ferdinand is not going to be available to park on because no parking anywhere along the parade route, those cars will get towed, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the signs have been up for several days on the parade route. That's something that we cannot tolerate for obvious safety reasons,
right,
and those vehicles will be towed. So, if you're parking there and you think you're going to be just a minute and you end up having a few drinks and you take a cab home, that's going to be a problem. We're going to have to tow that vehicle, and it's going to be at your expense. So please do not park on the parade route.
Great, great, good advice. And also, just because I just want to make sure, if you weren't listening to all the coverage we've done on this, people have wondered, well, if I can't get into the perimeter, what about walking? Oh, yeah, pedestrians, of course. I mean, you know, we're going to have 100,000 people on the parade route. So,
yeah,
you know, pedestrians are fine. Let's talk about some
It's going to be a beautiful day.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's a great show.
Parade. So, yeah, get there. Yeah, get there early and go find your spot and have a great time this weekend.
We had an incident at the airport where somebody tried to force their way through TSA. What happened here?
Yeah, that was last Friday. An individual approached TSA and then tried to force his way through there. Fortunately, the TSA and there was a Pensacola police officer that works at the airport was close, and they took that individual into custody without further incident. That's something that's taken very seriously for obvious reasons. So, fortunately, he did not get onto the concourse, because if that happens, there's a whole lot of other protocol that's in place, and it will cause lots of delays. So he was taken care of before he was able to breach that area.
I mean, did you know a device, a weapon, just mental illness? He was agitated because he was late. Do we know, like, what was the reason?
No, there were no weapons or anything like that. And
okay,
as far as the reason goes, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, all right. Also, I guess there was some kind of an incident that took place at the, we always call it the old medical facility. I thought it was a hospital, but the giant abandoned building on Palafox that is just a nasty, massive eyesore, perimeter fenced off with portable fencing or whatever. But you guys caught some folks inside of it?
Yeah, two Pensacola police officers on routine patrol noticed two individuals in that perimeter, inside that fenced-in area. They took them into custody and found about 40 pounds of precious metals that were stripped from the building on them, as well as burglary tools. So they were charged accordingly.
Wow. Okay. So they're in there looking for copper pipes or whatever it is, and they found some, and we found them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good police work right there.
Yeah. And, no kidding.
But yeah, that's it's been a problem before. A lot of from a homeless being in there, but I don't. This is the first time that I'm aware of theft, or you know, that's a burglary is what that is.
Yeah.
Occurred. So we are keeping an eye on that building, and you know, it's a shame that people do things like that, but it is what it is, and hats off to our patrol units for finding those individuals and taking them into custody.
Yeah, was that you may have said it and I missed it, but was that we saw them, saw lights inside, or did somebody report them, or how we got into looking for them in the first place? Do you know?
No, the officers were on routine patrol and noticed them inside the perimeter.
What? You mean eyes on the street actually prevents crimes? Look at that. that's the best way to prevent crime, right?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. You know, I haven't asked you about this in a while. I haven't heard much in the news about ShotSpotter. I know, I guess, the sheriff's office is in the process of asking for, you know, funding to re-up that. I think we're 2 years in, something like that. Has ShotSpotter been used much recently?
Yes, it's been very useful to us. It's resulted in several calls that we may not have gotten without it, and that just happened again Sunday night. There was a shot fired in the 1800 block of North F Street. Officers arrived and found a shell casing there, and they also ended up locating the suspect and arrested him. The firearm and a felony amount of marijuana were also confiscated. So, yeah, the system works really well. And again, nobody was hurt here, so chances are we probably wouldn't have gotten a call on it.
Right. Wow, that's great. I mean, that's terrible that it happened. But do we know anything about why the shot was fired? I mean, obviously, you find somebody with the possession of drugs, you can infer. But do we know anything about what happened?
No, I don't have the reason why he did that. But we're just glad that nobody was hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, we had this story that Chip was telling us about with the, you know, there was a fight over some marijuana in McDavid and wound up somebody getting shot and killed. And, you know, what's the thing that all of you guys have always said the same thing as long as I've lived here, which is if you want to avoid violence, stay out of the drug business, right?
Yeah, if you're going to get into the illegal drug business, you can count on something like that happening to you. That's why it doesn't happen to people that are not in the illegal narcotics business most of the time. Occasionally, there's a stray bullet, but that doesn't happen very often. So, if you're going to play with illegal narcotics, you're gonna end up dead or in prison sooner or later. That's unfortunately the way it is.
Yeah, I know Sheriff Morgan used to always say, basically, you know, if you don't hang around with the wrong people and you don't do the wrong things, your chances go way up. You know, that's most likely. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, but it used to be a second degree or a third degree felony if you killed a police dog. And in Florida, that changed in 2019. Killing a police dog is now a second degree felony and can result in up to 15 years in prison. It was strengthened in 2019 after the death of a canine during a carjacking incident in Jacksonville, Florida. So this also applies not only to police dogs, but police horses and fire department search and rescue dogs as well.
Hmm. Well, good. And, you know, just from talking to cop friends, I tell you, the level of protection emotionally that they have for these canines and these horses is it's robust. Is that a fair way to say it, Mike?
Absolutely. They have four legs instead of two, but they're all the same. They're just like us, and the penalties should be the same.
Cherished family members of the operation. Pensacola Police Department spokesman, Public Information Officer Mike Wood. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. We look forward to getting the information out to all the listeners, especially regarding the parade on Friday and Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Everybody come down this weekend. Have a great time. It's good talking to you.
You know we will. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're eager to have that green, beautiful lawn this summer, you know, if every year in the past you're like, don't look at my yard, you'll get that same result if you keep doing the same things, right? I mean, it's science. So if you try something different, you'll get a different result. Well, try NSEC. They're here to help you with this. They've got a healthy lawn program to make your lawn healthy, lush, and keep weeds to a minimum. They've got 8 annual applications, timed, programmed, and targeted to get your lawn what it needs and, more importantly, when it needs it. It's easy to get started. Free lawn analysis and an estimate. The initial soil sample indicates the amendments for your particular lawn and creates a plan for your lawn success. You get nutrient applications with each standard service visit, along with seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf damaging, insect control, and fungicide applications. And the Healthy Lawn Program. They also offer a Healthy Landscape Program for tree and shrub care, aeration, grass plugs, and they even recommend grass types. Sign up today, get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program that includes initial soil sample and lime treatment on an average size yard. Find out more and sign up at NSEC.net.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade is Saturday, beginning at 2. Join in the true showcase of community spirit and celebration. Get all the info at PensacolaMardiGras.com. Sunday is the Mardi Gras Parade with Island Atmosphere. The crew of Rex Parade rolls at 2 on Pensacola Beach. See PensacolaBeachMardiGras.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You underestimate the power of the dark side. If you will not fight, then you will meet your destiny.
Good morning, 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, a judge has ruled that the Trump administration's mass firings of federal workers are illegal and should end. A U.S. District Court judge in San Francisco ruled yesterday that the Office of Personnel Management has to rescind the memo that resulted in the mass firings of probationary employees. That ruling, though, will not reinstate workers that have already been dismissed. Got an update on Pope Francis this morning. He apparently continues to rest in a Roman hospital. It's been about 2 weeks now he's been there. The Vatican said he had a peaceful night. He was originally admitted with bronchitis. Since then, he's been diagnosed with double pneumonia and mild kidney failure. And a Florida lawmaker moving to rename a stretch of U.S. 41 between Tampa and Miami. You're going to love this one. It would rename the Tamiami Trail to the Gulf of America Trail.
Stop it. Oh, my God.
Joe Gruder's bill would require state agencies also to update their geographic materials to reflect the Gulf of America name.
Even as a non-Florida-born person, even I had heard of the Tamiami Trail. You know what I mean?
It's pretty iconic.
Yeah, it's very well known, even outside of Florida. Stop it. Just stop being so dumb. Stop falling over each other to see who can lick Trump's boot fastest. Like, that's what it seems like, is who can just fall in line the fastest for this nonsense. It's crazy. Oh, man, I just don't have time to get into it.
Would you like to sign my petition, Andrew?
What's your petition? To keep the Tamiami Trail?
No. I want to force every beachfront restaurant to become the Gulf of America Grill.
Oh, my God.
No, all of them.
No. Yeah. You don't have to change the actual name of the grill. What you do is you bring them all under the broad branding umbrella of Gulf of America Bars and Grills, and then you just make them all change all their signage to a they can each keep their own name,
okay,
as long as they don't say it out loud.
There we go. That's why they put you in charge of this thing.
I'm the efficiency expert for you know, the new Ministry of Truth, which is what we've got. It's, oh man. Anyway, like I say, don't get into it. Okay, David, thanks so much for the update. They are continuing to investigate the death of Gene Hapkin and his wife and their dog. And the report so far says it was not natural gas. It was not carbon monoxide. There was no foul play. They were there for a long time. The bodies had started to become mummified when a worker discovered them. There were a couple of dogs that were still alive that were running free. There were some pills spilled in the bathroom by the wife. It's just all unknown.